Well, good morning. Thank you for joining me here in my living room. Today we are looking at Psalm 115. Please do turn there. Turn with me to Psalm 115. So that is the psalm we will be thinking about this morning. And please do read it with me as I read it and keep it open so you can follow along as we work our way through it. Before we read our psalm, allow me to lead us in a short prayer. Father, we thank you so much that we can still meet virtually. Thank you for technology that it enables us to hear your word this morning. Father, we pray that you would help us to know you better as we think about this psalm. And we pray, Father, that in this time of tremendous uncertainty, we pray that your word would comfort us this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 115. We'll be reading the whole psalm to Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people, Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the human race. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. I've just realized that my neighbor is listening. Must be watching some type of movie, so do forgive me if you can hear background noises, if you can hear explosions and machine guns and swords and music. Well, that's not intentional. My neighbor must be watching some sort of war movie. Okay. Globally, hundreds of thousands of people have been infected. Tens of thousands have died, and it's reported that the virus hasn't even peaked yet. At times like these, we can often hear the question, "Where's God?" Maybe you've asked that question yourself. Or maybe someone has asked you, knowing that you're a Christian, "Where's your God?" It's a question that can stump us, isn't it? Now, being challenged by unbelievers on questions like this is nothing new for God's people, who've always been taunted for believing in God, especially during challenging times. Look at what the author of our psalm says in verse 2. Why do the nations say, "Where is their God?" Now, why did people from other nations ask the Israelites that question? The Israelites were often mocked by them because their situation after the exile looked pathetic. They had lost their land, they had lost the temple, and so it looked as though God had abandoned them. So the outsider questioned the power, or even the existence of their God. Hey Israel, where's your God then, eh? And that's a question that Christians have been asked throughout the centuries. Whether it's a pandemic, a war, or a famine, people are ready to fire at us. So where's your God? Why is he not doing anything? And in hard times, we ourselves might be tempted to doubt God. We might be tempted to doubt whether he actually cares. We might even be tempted to doubt whether he's actually there. But the psalmist wanted God's people to know that they could trust God in the middle of a desperate situation. And if they could, we can too, because as followers of the Messiah, we are God's people. So why can we trust God during this coronavirus pandemic? That's the question we're thinking about today. Why can we trust God during a pandemic? We can trust him because, point one, he's our faithful protector. We can trust him because he's our faithful protector. One way the psalmist stresses that God is the faithful protector is by contrasting him with the pagans' idols. Look with me at verse 4. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths, but cannot speak, eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel, feet, but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. You see, the pagans think that their gods are impressive. They're tangible. But the psalmist says, you might think that your God is impressive because it's made of gold, but it was made by you. It was made by a human. The eyes, the ears, the mouths, the hands, the feet they have are not real. They were placed on them by you. Therefore, you're placing your trust in something that cannot deliver you. Its eyes cannot see your problems. Its ears cannot hear your prayers. And despite having a mouth, it can't communicate with you. It has nothing to say. It has no message that can help you. It has no righteous moral law. So it cannot instruct you as to how to live your life well. But just as the pagans put eyes, ears, and mouths on their idols, they put words in the mouths of their idols. And they had to, because the idols were their own invention. And so they'd say that their idols told them to do all sorts of crazy things, such as to offer child sacrifices and to have sex with temple prostitutes. You see, when people don't believe in the one true God, they end up believing all sorts of weird stuff. And isn't that true of 21st century Britain? I can think of a number of examples, and I'm sure you can too. People are increasingly believing strange things when it comes to what is right and what is wrong. And it's no surprise, because if you're not listening to what God says, you're going to have to make up your own moral code to live by as you go along. So the pagans' idols cannot see, they cannot hear, and they cannot speak. And they cannot smell. That is, they're incapable of realizing that they're being worshipped. Their noses cannot detect the sweet-smelling aroma or incense of worship. And they can't feel and they can't walk. How are these idols going to help you if they can't even make their way to you? They can't. In fact, they're so useless. The psalmist says they can't even utter a sound with their throats. That's probably the Hebrew way of saying they can't even clear their throats. So what are these idols like in which people put their trust? They're dead. And so they're of no help. Now, why might the psalmist be saying this to the Israelites? Why might he be saying that idols worshipped by pagans are dead and cannot rescue? Have a look with me at verse 8. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. I wonder if it's because the Israelites may have been tempted to worship those very same idols that the pagans were worshipping. The psalmist therefore seems to be subtly warning them. If you trust in them, you'll become like them, dead. You see, idols don't have the power to rescue you because they're inanimate. Now contrast that with the living God. In verse 3, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. When the psalmist says that God does whatever pleases him, he doesn't mean that God just does whatever he wants to do without thinking about how that affects his creation. The psalmist isn't saying that God just does his own thing and that therefore we just need to get over it. Sometimes God's sovereignty is understood that way, but that is not what God's sovereignty means. God isn't a cosmic bully. When it says that God does whatever pleases him, it means that God does what he knows is right in the world. He is supremely ruling and reigning. He is the living God, unlike dead idols. And look at what verse 1 says. God is loving and faithful. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The context of the passage in Romans 8 is suffering, which means that God works suffering for our good. So God isn't trying to reconcile suffering with trying to do what is good for us. The suffering itself is intended to bring about good. Now I know that we find that incredibly hard to grasp. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We struggle to see how God might use that for good. We might be tempted to say, no, God, there's no good that could come out of this. Could you please fix it? But God says, trust me. You need to trust me in this. It might be a bit like when a parent makes a decision for a child that the child doesn't like, but the parent is doing it out of love. Now, the parent's decision might even seem unloving to the child, but that's because the child lacks the wisdom and knowledge to understand what their parent is doing. We can often be like that child, can't we? But we need to know that when God does what pleases him, he is doing what is good for us as believers. He is loving and faithful. So when the world says, "Hey, where's your God?" I wonder what your reaction is. Is it to doubt God and to trust in the gods of this world instead, who cannot deliver? Or is it to continue steadfastly trusting in God? What are some of us trusting in right now? Maybe we think, if I just isolate myself well enough, maybe I can escape the coronavirus. If I just have enough food in my freezer, maybe I can survive the coronavirus. If I just have enough loo roll, maybe I can wipe away the coronavirus. Even our beloved NHS, which we are tremendously grateful for, might not be able to rescue us. It might not have enough staff, enough beds, or enough ventilators. So in times of crisis, where does the psalmist encourage us to look for help? Look with me at verse 9. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. God is the one we can trust for protection. He is our help and shield. When the psalmist calls the Israelites and the house of Aaron and those who fear God, he's essentially telling people, of believers of all backgrounds, to put their trust in God. The Israelites, that is all the descendants of Jacob, the Jews, the house of Aaron, that is the priests, even they mustn't rely on their priesthood, on their position, but on God's protection. And those who fear God, that is, not only Jews, but people from any race who worship the one true living God. All of these groups should put their trust in God in times of crisis. He is our help and shield. He is the one who protects us. While in verse 8 it said that those who trust in idols will become like them, that is, dead, in verses 9 to 11 it says that those who trust in God will be protected. They'll be alive and well. Where will we place our trust during this pandemic? We can trust God because he's our faithful protector. And we can also trust him because, point two, he's our faithful provider. We can trust God because he's our faithful provider. Have a look with me at verse 12. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Who will the Lord bless according to these verses? Everyone who fears him, from the smallest to the greatest. It doesn't matter what job you have or don't have, how much or how little you have in the bank, how popular or not you are in school, the Lord blesses all who fear him, those who respect and honor him for who he is. The words remember and bless here have covenantal overtones to them. That is, they're words that point back to the promises God made to his people in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Now, these words are meant to make us remember God's words to Abraham in Genesis. In Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great." And in Genesis 15, God says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield." And as spiritual descendants of Abraham, God is our shield, as we saw in verses 9 to 11. I'll give you another example of a Torah allusion in this psalm. Verses 4 to 8 tell us not to trust in idols. Back in Deuteronomy 26, God said to his people, and I'm paraphrasing here, "Don't trust in idols, trust and obey me, and I will bless you." Don't trust in idols, trust and obey me, and I will bless you. Now, you might be wondering, why are these Torah allusions relevant? Now, it's possible that Israel has begun to doubt that God cares about them. They were taken away from the promised land by their captors, the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And so maybe they were tempted to trust in the pagan idols they were being exposed to instead of trusting in God. Or perhaps, more subtly, they were tempted to trust in idols alongside trusting in God. So maybe they thought to themselves, "Sure, we believe in God, but why don't we hedge our bets and see if the other idols can help us too?" And isn't that exactly what we do? Sure, we believe in Jesus, but functionally, for example, our hope is in scientists quickly discovering a vaccine for the virus. And so the psalmist says, don't put your trust in idols. They cannot save you. Even if a vaccine is found, it can't save you from death forever. It can only postpone it. And even if it postpones it, from the perspective of eternity, a delay of death by 50 years is nothing. When we face turbulent times like the one we are in now, we have the opportunity to practice growing in our trust of the Lord. Are we going to do that? Or are we going to keep searching for other things to put our trust in? The psalmist reminds us in verse 15 that God is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the one who made us. We exist because of him. We have life because of him. Why trust in other things, even often good things, when we have the very source of life available to deposit our trust in? It is because of the psalmist's confidence that we can trust God, who blesses his people, who gives them what they need, that he opens and ends the psalm inviting us to praise the Lord. Have a look with me at verse 17. "It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord. both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Who should praise the Lord according to these verses? We who are alive. The dead can't praise him. The Westminster Confession of Faith says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We were created to praise God. We live to praise him. When we know him, when we know that he cares for us, that he protects us and provides for us, should not the natural response be to praise him? Although these verses say that the dead cannot praise God, we know that because Christ came into the world and rose from the dead, that we too will rise after we die, and that therefore we will continue to praise him beyond the grave. God will protect and provide for us during the coronavirus. And even if, God forbid, the coronavirus should take one of our lives, it cannot keep us in the grave. The grave will not be our end. We will rise physically in a new creation and continue praising our God forevermore. That is what we were made for. You might be familiar with William Cowper's song, "There is a fountain filled with blood." Listen to the following lyrics from it. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then, in a nobler, sweet song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Even death cannot stop our tongues from praising our loving and faithful God. Why can we trust God during the coronavirus pandemic? We can trust him because he won't stop protecting us and providing for us so that we can praise him forevermore. The coronavirus cannot stop your praise. Maybe you've tuned in this morning and you wouldn't even consider yourself a Christian. Maybe the current pandemic has caused you to think about death and to question the purpose of life. Maybe you've asked yourself, why are we here? I hope that today's passage has highlighted to you the reason for our being. We live to praise the living God. If you would like to do that and you would like to have life beyond the grave, why not consider putting your trust in Jesus this morning? Why not start praising him today? If you would, please do let us know by heading over to our website and getting in touch with us. Or if you would like to find out more about Christianity, please do the same. We'd love to hear from you. Allow me to finish with this. Charles Spurgeon, a famous preacher from the 19th century, said this: praise is the honey of life, which a devout heart sucks from every bloom of providence and grace. As well be dead as be without praise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that even in the midst of such scary times, we can praise you because you are trustworthy. We can trust you to protect us and to provide for us during this season. We pray, Father, that you would use this season to help us grow closer to you, to help us grow in our trust of you. Help us to trust you more because of what the world is going through right now. Father, we pray that we would be those who praise you because we can trust you. Father, we thank you that the coronavirus cannot stop us from praising you, our faithful and loving God. Amen.